Well, hello, everyone. I am Matt Williamson. Belly up to my bar. Let's have a little quarterback chat today that I promised you. I mentioned this the other day, if you caught the podcast. Maybe it was yesterday. And I've told you this many times, that basically the only thing I listen to are podcasts. Like, if I'm in the shower, I got a podcast going. If I'm in the car alone, I got a podcast going. And they're all football podcasts. You know what I mean? Occasionally there's a Game of Thrones one, something like that. But basically all I listen to are football podcasts. And like this one, there are many, many great ones out there. And I was listening to the NFL Network's Around the League podcast, and some good people on there for sure. You know, I mean, they do very, very good work. And they, every year, do their Andy Dalton, the Dalton line, I think they call it, something like that show, where it's kind of an analysis of the quarterback situation around the league. And not to put words in their mouth, but this is kind of how I interpreted it, was it was almost like a Mendoza line. If you remember Mendoza, I don't know much about baseball, but he was a shortstop, I think, for the Yankees. I'm probably wrong about that. But he basically perennially hit like 200, but I guess he was a whiz in the field, so he stayed in the majors for a while. And that was, they called it then the Mendoza line. Like, if, you know, that's about as low as you can go as a hitter and still be a productive major league player. And so they create, so the NFL, around the NFL folks, you know, around the league or around the NFL, I forget what they call the podcast now, but they change it. They made a Andy Dalton line, basically as, if your quarterback is as good as Andy Dalton or better, you're in pretty good shape. If he's below the Dalton line, well, then you got problems. You know what I mean? You know, so that in itself seems to work, and it made more sense, to be honest with you, a couple years ago when they created that idea. Because now, if I rank all the starting quarterbacks in the league, I bet Dalton would be like 22nd for me. I'm just totally guessing, you know, and we'll get to that, honestly. So therefore, that's not even league average. You know, he's not 15, 16, 17, 18. You know, he's 20 to 25 range. You know, so you're struggling if that's your quarterback. And I'm lower on him than most people are. So get that out of the way. And this isn't, it's going to sound like it, but this isn't bash Andy Dalton day. Because, you know, they even showed a couple years ago with a really strong supporting cast and a much better offensive line, A.J. Green at the height of his powers. That was a really good offense led by Dalton. Hugh Jackson pulling the strings behind the scenes, you know, manufacture some things for him. And I hate the term, you know, people ask, can you win the Super Bowl with this guy? Yeah, I mean, some not-so-good quarterbacks have won Super Bowls. You can. You know, as Chris Rock says, you can drive a car with your feet. I'd rather try to do it with Aaron Rodgers or, you know, someone, Matthew Stafford, or an early pick that's, you know, turning into, it may turn into his own, to be honest with you. But yeah, you can win the Super Bowl with what I think is going to be a great Bengals defense and a good supporting cast. I mean, yeah, they could be a contender this year. So I guess I'm not really defining this exactly right, but what I found was when I was listening to that podcast the other day, I kind of thought, if I was sitting in the room with those guys, I would have chimed in a lot. Because I think when you look at that situation, there's two ways of laying it out. You know, if the question is X quarterback better or worse than, say, Andy Dalton? Or the other way to lay it out is X quarterback more valuable than Andy Dalton? For example, if the Bengals said, hey, Chicago, we'll trade you Andy Dalton for Mitch Trubisky, would the Bears say yes? Of course they would not. Of course they would not. Or if the Bengals would have called the Jets and said, hey, we'll give you Andy Dalton for the third overall pick, would the Jets do that? Of course not. Does that mean Trubisky or Darnold is a better football player, a better quarterback than Andy Dalton right now? No, but they're more valuable because there's hope. You know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's youth. where a guy like Dalton is a pretty much a defined player. And I also think there's a handful of other guys that fit that category, not just the pick on Dalton. I mean, I think Alex Smith is in that mold. Although I think he's coming off a better season than he's had. But he is who he is. Yeah, you can win with him. He's never going to be a top 12 quarterback in terms of rankings. But yeah, if everything's around him, he can be a trailer and you can, you know, you can win with him. I think Tyrod Taylor is in that mold. I hate to say it, Vikings fans, but I think Cousins is closer to that mold than he is, you know, the dawn of the of a guy that can take games over or be a true franchise quarterback. That remains to be seen, and maybe I'm a little hard on Cousins that way. But when you look at the quarterback landscape, and right now is a kind of a bad time to do it because everyone's optimistic. It goes back to my old theory that this time of year is the best your team, your quarterback, will probably ever look throughout the year. Most things are bad from here. But when you look at it from a step back and a view that the, like they did on that podcast, the quarterback situation around the league isn't that terrible. I mean, it really isn't. But I'm going to say a lot of optimistic things about a lot of quarterbacks. But if you end up with, even though if somebody that's young turns into a hit and you're happy with your guy and he's a 20th ranked quarterback, well, two out of three games you play are going to be against a quarterback who's better than your guy, even if you, quote, love your guy. So I kind of look at the league and there's, to me, the oldies but goodies. And you know who those are. I mean, Brady's at the top of the list. But, you know, Rivers, Breeze, Ben, you know, a lot of future Hall of Famers, guys still going strong. But even Brady, what if they fell off a cliff like Peyton Manning did? I mean, that could come. That could be on the horizon for any of them at any given moment. And before you know it, the Saints, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Chargers could be without a quarterback or without a backup plan. Eli Manning's in that mold, but I don't think he's as good as those other ones. But there's those guys, the oldies but goodies, that seem to be going strong still and very well could have a couple more years in them. And Brady's an MVP. So that group is pretty darn good. You know, you can win a lot of games with Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger. Then I think there's the in-your-prime guys. And to me, that's like Aaron Rodgers would be the oldest of that group. And I know he's getting up in age, but he's still freaking great and showing no signs of decline. But I'm thinking like Stafford, Ryan, those type of guys. High-quality quarterbacks in their prime, true franchise guys, leading their team. Their teams are very happy with their guy. You know, maybe they play another 5, 6, 7, 8 years the way the NFL's going, up until 40 years old or so. But they probably are around their peak, give or take. They're in their prime. And then I think the other group, and this group, and maybe I'm just being too wishful thinking-ish, is the young guns. And I know these guys won't pan out like we think, but the guys in the league now that have been there a couple years, the highly drafted quarterbacks, and I'm not counting this past year, you know, the rookies, the incoming guys. And there's five of them that are went in the first round. So there's 32 teams, and five of them just used a first-round pick on a quarterback that maybe deep down, if you gave them true serum, they would have some reservations about. But they thought enough of them, and some of them to trade up, or some of them to use a very early pick, including the first overall, that they think they have their quarterback of the future. I mean, that's five out of 32 teams right there that think they have their 10-year franchise guy to go all the way through the in the prime years and maybe into the oldies but goodie years. And if so, that's a large portion of the NFL that is, quote, taken care of at the position for now or for a long time. And I also think you can go back the last few draft classes too, you know, the highly drafted dudes. And I really think they're very, very promising and something that I don't want to do, but I probably will one day, is rank all those guys, you know, the young guns, because I think that group is really, really optimistic, or really, really exciting. And maybe I'm overly optimistic, you know, because injuries and, you know, just chances are these guys aren't all going to hit. But I would be awfully happy with a lot of these dudes that were drafted early. And I'm pulled up, I went to drafthistory.com, and I'm looking at the last couple drafts and the quarterbacks taken. And I don't know if I should include the 2014 group as young guns, or are they in their prime guys? And by that, I'm talking about Bortles, who was the third pick in the draft, who to me is a bust. I know that sounds awful, but I think to me, he's a backup. I think he's proven that. I mean, I know people are going to disagree with me on that. But the other two of note are Derek Carr, Jimmy G. To me, they're both over the hump as legit franchise quarterbacks. Like, they're probably should belong in their prime years, you know? So that range basically goes from, like, Carr and Garoppolo. This was a 2014 draft class, so they've been in the league a while now. I don't think you can call them prospects anymore. That they're, not who we think they are. Their best years are probably ahead of them. But they're now entering their prime years. They're not prospects. But the, quote, prospects, someday you guys are going to ask me to rank all these dudes. And I'll know without question that Carson Wentz will be my number one. But after that, I like them all. I mean, I think Mariota would be my two, and not including the rookies, because I don't think that's fair to judge them without watching NFL tape on them yet. But it's a really promising class, and I don't have much bad to say about the 2015 guys, Winston, Mariota. They were the top two picks. I think both their teams are very happy with them, as are the top two picks in 16, Goff, Wentz, as well as the steal. You know, Dak Prescott, it was the 135th pick in the draft in 2016. I think the Cowboys are very, very happy with him, and they're about to give him a bazillion dollars. Obviously, the rookies from last year, the jury's much more out on. You know, like Winston, Mariota, I mean, these guys are going to be the starters. I mean, they may have ups and downs, and they all certainly have, but they're past the point where we're going to look at them and say, dude, that guy can't play. I mean, these guys are probably, quote, made it, where Trubisky, Mahomes, Watson are promising, and we like them, but there's more questions because there's just less to take out of. But all that being said, I just named eight dudes, you know, going back to the Winston draft class, guys drafted in 15, 16, 17, where all their teams are very happy with their starting quarterback for the future. You're like, they're happy they made those picks. And all of them are early picks except for Dak. You know, Watson was the 12th pick. Mahomes was the 10th. Trubisky was the 2nd. So that's eight teams right there that think that they have their future everyday starter. In addition to five others that just drafted them in the first round that we talked about a minute ago. So that's 13 out of 32 teams that have, quote, young guns, you know, that have a lot of hope, you know, that again, I mean, are 10 of those 13 going to hit, or three of those 13 going to hit, are any of them going to be Tom Brady, are many of them going to be at the Stafford level, you know, but out of 32 teams, 13 of them are pretty darn excited, intrigued with their early round young quarterbacks that they're building around. So, like I said, I mean, I don't really have a wonderful point to prove about all this, that, boy, this is a golden age of quarterbacks. But I think it's better than what people think. And all those young guys, those 13 young guys that I just mentioned, are very talented. Teams should be excited about them. You know, their future looks bright. They won't all hit. But none of those teams would even consider giving up their guy. And whoever you like the least out of those 13, maybe it's Goff, who knows, whoever you like the least, you would much rather have than Andy Dalton or Alex Smith or Tyrod Taylor. You know, like Tyrod Taylor, many of us were shocked that the Bills got the first pick in the third round for him. And with what the Browns had in draft capital, it made some sense because he's going to hold down the fort. The turnover situation that I talked about so often in Cleveland last year is bound to be a bazillion times better with Taylor at the quarterback position instead of Kizer. And that makes you in games and winning games as opposed to, you know, going 0-16. So I thought that trade was very good for both teams. And even look what the Skins gave up for Alex Smith. A lot. I mean, a really good corner that are as a high valuable position and valuable draft capital. So even those guys, if Andy Dalton were to get traded right now, are worth a lot. And remember when Minnesota traded for Bradford after Bridgewater got hurt. They gave up a first-round pick like a week before the season for a guy that I really like but is never healthy and has a lot of questions and didn't know the system and throw him right in. So these middle-of-the-road dudes, these Dalton-line quarterbacks, are still worth a ton. And case in point, disagree with me if you want, Kirk Cousins just got $90 million or something like that, guaranteed for a three-year deal. I mean, they're worth a lot. So having those guys is a valuable commodity. But the 13 young gun teams wouldn't trade their guy for any of them, maybe Cousins. We'll just take Cousins out of the equation. But by no means would the Browns give you Baker Mayfield or the Rams give you Jared Goff, you know, let alone Wentz or somebody like that for Alex Smith, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor. You know, like, not even close. I mean, if the Bengals offered Tampa Bay or Tennessee, Andy Dalton and next year's first for Mariota or Winston, they'd get laughed at. Okay, we'll give you another first year, first rounders the next 2 years in Dalton. Then you might start to consider it if you weren't in love with your guy. But again, my point is, right now, and again, it's May, so it doesn't look that bad, and injuries haven't hit, and the backup situations around the league are dreadful. But, you know, the quarterback situation in the league is stronger than give it credit for. And it's much stronger than, say, the offensive line situation. You know, like if I went around and talked about the five starting offensive linemen times 32 teams, I would not come up with 13 out of 32 teams that were excited about their starters or a big chunk of oldie but goodies Andrew Whitworth types that are nearly the same percentage of starters as Rivers and Ben and Breeze and those guys. Or the in-your-prime Pro Bowl type Ryan, Rodgers, Stafford types, you know. So, yeah, quarterbacking is one of the hardest things in the league, in the world to do at a high level. But it's not as bad off as people think. So, last little exercise I wanted to do, and this is something that they were doing on the podcast, was they were going around and saying, they were all kind of doing their votes, and there's four or five of them on the podcast. They all know their stuff. Who's over the Dalton line? And I'm going to call it the Dalton, Tyrod, Alex Smith line. And, you know, and I would include Cousins, but don't tell anyone. So who's better than those guys right this second? And the young guns, the 13 young guns, I don't know that you could say that about. You know, so let's go team by team. Tom Brady's obviously better than the Dalton line. The Bills do not have somebody above that. The Jets do not have somebody above that. And McCown played really, really well last year. To me, I would rather have Tannehill than Dalton, but I can't give him a yes that he's better than that line. So I'm sitting here tallying them. So that's one for the AFC East right now that is above that, quote, Mendoza mean medium type line. In the North, the Browns don't have that guy right now. That's better. The Bengals don't because they're kind of the definition. The Ravens don't. Flacco's bad. The Steelers do. Ben is ahead of that line. in the South gets tricky because I'm not going to count Mariota. I'm not going to count Winston. Or I'm not going to count Watson. I am going to cut Luck as clearly above. And I know that there's an asterisk by him. But he's so much better than those guys. And he could be the best quarterback in the league as soon as next year at this time. So he's a superstar, in my opinion. Bortles, to me, isn't even close. In the West, Keenum. No, Keenum's below that line, or he's lucky if he's included in that group because of his career body of work. I think I put Carr over that, but he's not played very well lately. But Carr is certainly more valuable than those guys because he's brushing against the young gun label, but we put him over it. Who else we got? Rivers is better than them. That gives me 5. The Chiefs, Mahomes doesn't count. So those 13 teams don't count again. So in the AFC, I've got 5 dudes right now that are, quote, above that line, that are better football players on May 18th at the quarterback position.